My guest at this time is Chris Witt. He is the CEO of Wake Technology Services Incorporated. He is definitely an expert on information technology and major IT projects. He has not been working on healthcare.gov, but is here to provide some insights on how a project of this magnitude ought to be structured and why some of the problems that have happened may have happened. And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, this law was passed in March of 2010. It was scheduled to launch October 1st, 2013. So that gives them roughly 3.5 years to get this right. And there are obviously major components here. So if you were handed a project like this, A, how complicated is it? And B, how should it have been approached to be done successfully?
Well, first off, complexity varies greatly. And in this case, it probably didn't have as much to play. Structure-wise, you're right. 3 years, 3+ years of lead time should be more than enough, especially in today's environment of rapid development. So there's some unanswered questions that, you know, as I mentioned in the blog post, is we don't know what happened, unfortunately, and I don't know that we'll ever know what happened. But leading up to it, so we have some basic structure that needs to be put in place. So you have your project manager, who's going to be the key party in this project. In fact, it might even be a program manager because there's probably multiple project managers involved in this. It's a rather large undertaking. So they begin developing their structure. They bring in developers. They have architects. They have all the other components that you need in a very large, what we'll call application development. While it's a web product, it's still an application development endeavor. So they have all these different layers in place, of course, being overseen and run by the various project managers and then probably a program manager. So, you know, throughout the process, there is quite a bit of communication that takes place, reporting back to the stakeholders, number one being federal government. So, you know, throughout the process, it was surprising that certain things came to light after the application or the website was rolled out. I find it hard to believe that that's really the case, but, you know, as I mentioned before, we'll probably never know what really happened.
Chris, let's talk about a couple of different major parts to this. What we do know is that a lot of folks just simply couldn't use the site, and we also learned that there had been red flags prior to the launch that this would probably happen. So take us inside. If you're the project manager or one of the project managers and you know that this has not been adequately tested, and even when it has, that the results have not been good, what's the responsibility of the project manager to report back in a situation like that?
Sure, and you bring up a good point about the scope. So the contractor that was brought in to do this by the government, what was their scope? So where did their responsibility end? Now, if you know anybody who watched some of the hearings that took place, they seemed to indicate that they were not responsible for the testing. So basically, they probably did some levels of unit testing, some integrated testing, but not complete end-to-end testing, which would also include load testing. So, you know, how many concurrent visits could be on a site at any particular time before there's a major degradation or crash of the site? It seemed, now, again, it's hard to determine what the actual delineation point was, but it seemed like the government was supposed to be doing the load testing. So the contractor did all of their testing up to a certain point. Now, as if I was the project manager, I would be managing to the scope, and the scope was, let's make the assumption that my scope would have been the individual unit testing, the integrated system testing, and then the handoff to the client, in this case, the government. So we would have performed all that. We probably would not have had certain things in place to do the load testing, because that takes a little bit more. That takes a different style of testing or different style of technology in order to accomplish those results.
We're talking with Chris Witt. He's the CEO of Wake Technology Services Incorporated. And Chris, another thing that it came up certainly in the first 2 months after the rollout, but it's been even more intense in the last few days, and that's reports that not only is security not up to where it would need to be to protect people's, you know, personal information, their social security number, financial information as they entered into the exchange, some reports have suggested, and white hat hackers have suggested, that there's not even a security process in place here. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's pretty scary. Unfortunately, we don't know what the requirements were for on the security side of things. But since we are talking about patient data, and in particular patient health data, there's already laws on the books, specifically HIPAA and HITECH, that regulate security and privacy of protected health information. So it's a little surprising that they would even have these types of problems. And unfortunately, if it was you or me that were doing this on a private basis, we'd probably be locked up because we'd be breaking all kinds of different laws. So, yeah, it's a little interesting. I'd love to see a case study on this to see why there is such these glaring holes in security. And you're right. It seems like the folks who have done a little bit more of the security auditing, third-party auditing, did not find too much difficulty in breaking into the system and accessing users' data.
Given what we just talked about, and we're not trying to encourage or discourage folks from potentially going to the site, but should anyone feel comfortable entering their data at this point?
Oh, I wouldn't. No, not from what the experts have been saying. I mean, these people do not have an axe to grind. They basically have come in very generically, you might say, or apolitical, and raised some very serious red flags. And now, what's even more problematic is more than one have even stated that this is not a fixable problem in its current state, which would concern me greatly.
Chris, just in chatting with you outside of our interview, it seems like you are not at all buying the administration's argument right now that things are much, much better now with healthcare.gov than they were a number of weeks ago. In fact, you believe things are getting worse. Explain why.
What we've only seen is the superficial layer, and that's the people trying to access and put their data in and go through the process. Now we're starting to hear whispers of, wait a second, none of the insurance companies are getting the information or getting it correctly. So evidently, there's some back-end problems as well. So we've got some front-end superficial problems. We've got security issues, which you never want to understate. And then you've got some back-end interfacing or connectivity problems. So this looks like, you know, as they fix layers, it's going to shine a light on layers further down or deeper into the application that are flawed.
What's the biggest takeaway on this for you? Is it federal versus private sector work on this? Is it simply incompetence on the part of the contractors that are specifically involved with this project? What's the biggest headline for you in this from your perspective as a leader of a major IT firm?
I would assume the contractor met the terms of their agreement. Or else there'd be other issues that we would have probably already heard about. So I'm assuming the contractor did what they were contracted to do. You know, there's always a question of what's the place of the government in large initiatives like this. The government's not always in the best position to be able to oversee and implement this type of technology or technology solution. I think they would have been better off putting the complete implementation of it out to contract to a large U.S.-based developer who could have done it in a much quicker timeline and been able to meet all the requirements. I think the government took on a little too much of the responsibility themselves. At least that's what it appears to be.
Chris, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
Chris Witt, CEO of Wake Technology Services Incorporated. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.